Hey, greetings, everybody. This is Brother James, noparish.com, John 424 Radio. Hey, getting ready to go out and street preach today at an event. It's a beautiful, hot, sunny Saturday. Hope you're all doing well. Today I want to talk about casual use of drugs and herbs. Casual use of drugs and herbs. I was asked about this by a dear saint. I want to address it. I've done an article in the past about sorcery from the book of Revelation and in book of Acts, and that's more aimed at people that use drugs to get to an altered state of consciousness to reach the supernatural world. Mysticism, witchcraft, that's clearly sinful and God abhors it. For this audio, I'm going to be focusing on alcohol, some drugs, herbs, and in the more casual daily use. I'll explain that as we go. I'm talking about things like caffeine, marijuana, hard drugs like cocaine and all that other stuff. I'll address that. It's not really the topic here. Herbs like valerian, maybe painkillers like Tylenol, and things like alcohol. What does God's Word say about this? As always, we want to be Bereans. What does it say about such things, if anything at all? Well, in my studies, I haven't found a lot in Scripture, especially the New Testament, which we live in mostly, on this subject. But there is some. There is some tidbits we can use to help us. So let's get going to take this apart and be in line with God's Word and rightly divide it. All right, so as the temple of God, Paul tells us we're the temple, right, in 1 Corinthians, we should never do anything to harm our temple. 1 Corinthians 3:17, if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. So whatever you're doing should be beneficial and at least not harmful to your temple, okay? All right, so that's a point. How about this one? We're called to be sober-minded. 1 Thessalonians 5:8. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love. Okay, so sober has many different meanings, but for this context, we're going to talk about how it doesn't affect your mind. It doesn't make you loopy, dizzy, hyped up, right? That's a very important. Leaders should be sober. Young men should be sober. Women should be sober. Young people should be sober. It's what the scriptures teach. So these things, to go into more detail, these things shouldn't alter our minds, like take us to a high from some other state. All right. So we need to be sober-minded, relying on the Word and the Spirit for our mentality and our ways. If that's your goal, taking something to alter your mind, it definitely is taking you in the wrong direction. Let me give you an example. Drunks will not inherit the kingdom of God. 1 Corinthians 6:10. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Yeah. So anything that alters your mind, I don't know the tipping point. You know, feeling a little good, feeling a little better, feeling tipsy, feeling drunk. I don't know the tipping point. I want to stay way far away from it, right? Avoid all appearance of evil. Not just avoid evil, avoid all appearance of it. Now, we do see wine, let's be fair, used in the scriptures. Wine has alcohol when it's fermented for medicinal purposes. This is probably our best scripture verse in the New Testament. 1 Timothy 5:23, Paul says, drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thy other infirmities. Well, science has showed us wine has some beneficial characteristics to it. We don't want to use it for drunkenness, but there are benefits to wine. So there you go. So I would say, based off that one scripture, while we never want to base our theology on one scripture, when we don't have much to go on, that scripture tells us we can use chemicals, herbs, I guess if you want to call it drugs, for infirmities, as long as it meets all these other criteria that we're going to cover. Does that make sense? How about this one? We're not to be mastered by things. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 6:12, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. All right? So you should never be addicted to such things. If you're taking painkillers, be careful. They can be addictive. If you start drinking wine, be careful. Some people get very addictive. We'll talk about marijuana. I've known many people. They get addicted and move on to harder drugs. Caffeine, oh, let's not even talk about that. Becomes a morning habit, can be very, very addictive for certain people. Everybody has to know themselves and how it works out. Now, with that groundwork laid down that we should not be altering our minds from a sober state, we should never be addicted, and we shouldn't destroy our temple. I'll toss in there, we want to make sure we're always a good witness, living holy, right? Everything we do should be to the glory of God. We'll get to that. So let's move on. The first thing we must always ask ourselves is, what's our motive for taking any such thing that isn't like food just to maintain our body? What's the motive? So let's talk about coffee. This is like the one that comes up all the time. People call it the Christian drug. I get it. I'm not sure why it's a big deal, because here's my point. If you drink a couple cups a day and it doesn't affect you in any strange way, no addiction, no mind altering, I don't see what the problem is. It's no big deal. I mean, sugar, some people get and they take and they get all hyped up. Well, they shouldn't eat sugar then. So if caffeine affects you in a negative way in these things we've talked about, get rid of it. Other people can drink a cup or two a day, not an issue. You find yourself drinking three pots a day and you're trembling without it, or you tremble after you drink a lot, you got a problem. So use wisdom and alter all these things to meet and fit your own life. I mean, coffee indeed can be addictive, we know that. But it doesn't really alter your mind. It might alter your actions, but it's still, I think you got to be careful of it. Anything that masters you is not a good thing. So we need to walk in that with great wisdom. I myself drink coffee. Let me just give a disclaimer. I drink coffee. I drink a cup of coffee every morning. And I drink one in the afternoon. I usually drink decaf in the afternoon. The one in the morning is really meaningless. I could drink decaf. I could go away from it. I could drink tea. I have gone away from it. And there was a time in my life when I drank a lot more coffee. When I say a lot more, maybe 4 or 5 cups a day. And I went away from it. And for 2 days, I had a little bit of a headache. That was it. Got off of it for a year or so. And then winter came 1 year and I said, you know what? I missed a hot beverage in the morning, and tea is okay, but I just prefer the taste of coffee. And I went back to it and I decided to use moderation. A cup in the morning, maybe a decaf cup at night, and that's it. And I don't think I'm in sin. I'm not addicted. I could leave it anytime I want. It doesn't alter my moods. I sleep well. So everybody must come to that about coffee in their own way. If you're addicted to it, if it's everything to you, if you're affected by it in a lot of ways, get rid of it, pluck it out. But things done in moderation, it has little effect on most saints. Let's talk alcohol. Now, alcohol can make you drunk, take you out of a sober state, yeah, no doubt. Many people abuse it, but it does have other good effects in moderation. So it's not an issue if it's done in moderation and you have self-control. It can relax some people. It can ease pain in people. If that's the reason, let me give you an example. I got a bad back. My back goes bad, and I got a lot of pain. And I put ice, and I put heat, and I still have pain. Before I go to bed, it keeps me up. What's the difference if I take 2 or 3 Tylenol, or if I take 2 or 3 big sips of wine that kind of relaxes my body and helps me sleep? Is there really a difference? I'm not getting buzzed. I'm not getting drunk. I'm not getting addicted. Yeah, Paul said take some for infirmity. So I'm totally fine with that as long as you're not in the habit of falling into addiction. Now, let me give an example. Everybody's different. I myself can drink a glass of wine, no effect on me. I have no desire to get addicted to alcohol, never was. I was a partier, a drinker, and a drunk, but I never got addicted to alcohol. I was a social drunk. All right? So to ease some pain, to relax me after a long day, maybe if I can't sleep because I have pain, other pains I have, other health issues I'm dealing with. All right? Not a problem. But I tell you what, for me, I know this. Never, ever, ever, ever give me hard alcohol. Yeah, I'm a wimp when it comes to hard alcohol. Let me just explain. If you were to give me a shot of like whiskey, some people could take a shot of whiskey and it doesn't affect them one bit. You give me even a half a shot of whiskey and I have like an instant buzz. Yeah, I learned that when I was a drunk. I learned how to control that and get a buzz and then get more of a buzz so I could still function and not get totally drunk. Yeah, hard alcohol has something in my system. I can't handle it. I get drunk real quick, or a buzz real quick. A buzz to me is too far. It affects my mind. It affects my actions. I used to be a rowdy, fighting man when I would drink. Not a good thing. So from the glass of wine, a sip of wine, to the hard stuff, you know, some people take a shot of whiskey to relax them and go to sleep. I see no problem with that. If it doesn't cause them to get buzzed, me, I can't do it. So everybody has to know themselves. Let's move on to herbs. Like, I'll use one, valerian. My wife has exposed me to herbs at times. We used to use them, still do. And they can cause good effects, like relaxing. They can make you sleepy. So it's a good thing. It can be a very good thing, right? Some of these herbs, she can take like a whole bunch of them, a few drops or something in water. One day she gave me some. Man, it just affected me totally. I got all red and flushed. And so everybody's systems are different, and you have to know your system and know what you can and can't do and what you can and can't take. But an herb like valerian that makes you sleep, I don't see the difference between that and all these sleep aids that have alcohol in them. Moderation in everything. Control, order, wisdom. Does this all make sense? I hope it does. Now let's move on to the famous marijuana. Now this drug, I grew up with it, never smoked it, but I saw my friends do it, move on to harder stuff, get addicted. I hated how it made them act like zombies. It's got a bad reputation. It was illegal for most of my life. Now places are starting to legalize it, and it has a bad reputation for abuse, and I think it's a gateway drug. People argue about that. I've seen it. I saw people move from marijuana, from cigarettes to marijuana to cocaine to other things that I said, I'm never doing drugs. The only drug I ever did was alcohol, if you want to consider that a drug. Now, some people will say it relaxes them, and I want to say this. If you smoke it, I think it's sinful. Why? Nobody's going to convince me smoke in your lungs is a good thing for your temple. But if you were to take it in an oil or a pill, I don't even know all the other ways they do this stuff. If it can ease people's pain, if it could relax some people, not sure why you need to be relaxed to that point. I know we talked about a little pain if you can't sleep maybe. But if it becomes an addiction, if it becomes something you lean on all the time, these things that I talk about, other than drinking my cup of coffee, these things that we talk about, like valerian to sleep or a sip of wine to sleep, it's not something I do every night. And I wouldn't recommend people doing it every night, every night, every night. I think it then becomes addiction. I think it becomes a mastery. Now, I've purposely pulled myself from coffee. No effect whatsoever. So I just like the hot taste of it, and not a problem. But these other things, if you take them too far, they're hard to let go of. They are hard to let go of. So marijuana, don't know a lot about it, but if it's smoking, I think it's sinful. It can be addictive. It can ruin your witness because it's got a bad reputation. But if you use a pill or an oil or whatever else they got, and it's just for medicinal purposes, truly for medicinal purposes, I don't see what the problem is. See, like coffee, I drink coffee for the taste. Like eating a cheeseburger, which I rarely eat. I like the taste of it. I don't eat a cheeseburger every day to relax me. Okay? I don't eat anything else every day to relax me. So these things, I think, should be used for medicinal purposes. I think that's a key point. All this stuff we do should be for medicinal purposes, not just plain habit forming. And if you don't do it for medicinal purposes, and I think coffee is like one, sugar would be another one, then it is a matter of taste, and God did give us taste buds. So if you like a nice sweet cake, nothing wrong with eating a nice sweet cake, unless the sugar makes you bounce off the wall, you shouldn't do it. And if you get addicted to it, and you gotta have cake every day or you go crazy, and really sweets and cake is not necessarily good for you in the long run, whereas caffeine actually has benefits in small moderation. So again, going back to all those other things, marijuana, very, very cautious about it. I would like to know why somebody needs to do it every single day. Is there other things they could do to relieve the tension, to relieve the stress, to trust more in the Lord, to pray and fast about it? Again, if you do something for taste, I don't think it's a problem. If you do something for occasional relaxation and medicinal, I don't think it's a problem. Any of these things that become addictive and you got to have them, I think they are bordering on a problem. Let's talk about cocaine and all the other hard drugs. They're destructive. They're illegal. They're very addictive. They're very expensive. They ruin your witness. There's no good evidence that they do anything good for you. I think saints obviously should avoid them outright. No valid purpose whatsoever for hard drugs. I'm going to leave that right there. So going back to like eating. If you were to eat too much sweets or too much meat or too much pizza, anything really, anything we do too much of for not a good reason, it masters us. In those cases, it becomes gluttony, right? You don't have to weigh 500 pounds to be a glutton. I have a brother who's lost 200 pounds. Yeah, he's a big man. He lost 200 pounds and now he is doing awesome. You know what? I know people, and he eats so careful now, and he's so cautious about how he eats to keep his temple, that he didn't want to destroy. You know what? I know people that weigh 150 pounds and are skinny, and they're 10 times the glutton themselves. Yeah. So gluttony is not about being fat. Gluttony is about your appetite. I just wanted to say that. We all can be gluttonous at times. So be careful whatever you're taking part in too much. Food, herbs, alcohol, coffee, yeah, pot. It's not a good thing if gluttony gets involved. Addiction for not the right reasons. No addiction is good. But make sure you're testing yourself. Why am I doing this thing? So throughout this whole discussion, I got to be honest, I see very little difference in the various like drugs like Tylenol, a painkiller, alcohol that can be used for infirmities, as Paul said, herb use. I'll even lean and say marijuana. I don't know a lot about it. I don't know why people do it. I grew up people doing it because they wanted to be doped out. Maybe I have a bias. Does it really do something for you to do it all the time in an addictive manner? Somebody's got to inform me of that. I think there's other things you could do. I think there's ways you could reduce your stress and your reliance on it. Okay. Hard drugs, never. And as long as there's moderation in all these things and a practical, God-honoring reason that you're doing them. I like the taste. Okay, God gave you taste buds. It relaxes me once in a while. Okay, not a problem. You know, somebody might say, wine, my doctor told me, will help thin my blood or something. Someone's told me. Okay, a little bit of wine is good for you. Practical, medicinal, God-honoring reasons for these things. Not flesh-honoring reasons. Not habit-forming for the sake of habit that you can't break easily. Test yourself. If there's something you can't give up, it may be a small idol in your life. Yeah. The Word of God says this, 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do it all to the glory of God. So there's a good test. Whatever you're doing, is it really for God's glory? Is it something God put in you? Taste buds. Yeah, God wants us to enjoy our taste buds. That's why he gave them to us. Is there a medicinal purpose? My leg and my back is bad. This oil, this CBC oil, I think they call it. Put it on there. Helps my muscle. Not a problem. But, you know, this is one of the things that's wrong with, like, Christian contemporary music. It's mood altering. That's why I think it's sinful. Oh, I had a bad day, popped the CD in. Oh, I'm feeling good because the music makes it. Who are you relying on? The Holy Spirit, the Word, and God the Father? Or the CD? So if it's mood altering, I think we got to be real careful. Physical ailments, yeah. Mood altering. I think we got to go to the Father in prayer, fasting, study, and find out how he can lift us up. We don't rely on things to alter our moods. Yeah, caffeine can alter your mood if you overdo it. And everything else can as well. So make sure it serves a valid purpose. And then the other one, I brought it up, make sure these things don't hurt your witness. You know, Sister Debbie and I can drink a sip of wine. Not a problem. We do it in the privacy of our van house. But you know what? I wouldn't walk down the street and sip wine. I look like a wino because I don't look like the average American. Some of the police think I'm a homeless guy because I dress real plain. I wouldn't be walking down the street drinking. Yeah. So we got to be very careful about our witness in all these things that we do. Finally, I want you to ask yourself, why are you partaking in any of these things, and does it pass this test? Ready? The good, pure, and true test. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. I like that. That's a test I've used my whole Christian walk, and it really, really has helped me. It really has helped me a lot. Going back to our witness, I just want to say this. Whatever you do in the privacy of your home, I just covered this a little bit. Not saying you can hide your sin in your house, no. But whatever you do in the privacy of your home, it's not going to stumble others, unless you have small children, then they see you. But there are things that are best done in private. You want to sip wine? Do it in the privacy of your house, not out in public. Okay, you want to take some medicinal drugs for an ailment? Okay, as long as you're not addicted and if there's a purpose for it, don't do it out in public or around everyone else that might stumble them. You get my point. Make sure that you have a private life and then you do things appropriately. Make sure in your private life you're not hiding things either. Confess to brothers and sisters, that's really good. But then keep your life private from the world and other people around you. I think that's good advice. We all should have a private life, then we should all have our brother and sister life, and then we should have our public life. Does that make sense? Of course, everything is open to God's eye and seeing all things. Hebrews 4 tells us that. So in the end, to round this out, I believe that medicinal or casual use of most all legal substances is not really an issue if the criteria we've talked about is met by the saints of God. Doesn't affect your soberness, doesn't cause addiction, doesn't harm your witness, doesn't harm your temple. Then it comes down to personal convictions, knowing yourself. I can't touch hard alcohol. Don't get it near me. I get buzzed almost looking at it. It's weird. That's not literally, but a little bit of alcohol just really affects me. Hard alcohol. Wine? Not a problem. I could probably drink half a bottle and it wouldn't affect me, but I don't. A sip here and there to cause some medicinal pain ease. So keep that all in mind. Know yourself. Figure all these things out through prayer and fasting. Yeah, discuss it with brothers and sisters. I'm out in the street here, kind of noisy, as usual. I want to close with this. Abuse and misuse of anything is never, ever a good thing, including the Word of God. Does that make sense? Yeah. People abuse the Word of God. They twist the Word of God. They get addicted to the Word of God in the wrong way. Get all these people that love one verse and they quote it all the time and it's out of context and it's bad exegesis. Yeah. So even the Word of God can be abused and be taken the wrong way. Wow. All these drugs and herbs and other things absolutely can be. Make sure you're walking in those parameters that I think God's Word gives us, and then do them. If they meet those parameters, be mastered by nothing. Watch your witness. Don't let these things alter your mood. The body, yeah, this tent is dying. We gotta duct tape it, sew it, staple it, and rivet it together to get through this life. I know, I'm almost 60. Every day, me and Sister Debbie are fighting a lot of health issues. We hope God keeps us going for a long time so we can proclaim His truth out in the world. But when it comes to mood altering, look to the King, look to the Savior, look to the Word, look to this glorious risen Messiah that has made a way for us. He will lift you up. The Bible promises that. I hope this helps shine some light on this topic. Drugs, herbs, and other things. Let me know if you have any questions. Shoot me an email. Hey, till next time, go on, have a glorious day. We're going to go out and preach Christ crucified. That's something that lifts us up. And yeah, we're kind of addicted to it. But you know what? The Bible says, do it all for the glory of God. Go lift up your voice. Preach the gospel. Yeah. Relying on, I don't like the word addicted, relying on God's Word, His truth, and His Spirit every day with all that you are. Yeah, that's a great, great habit to get used to and never let go of. That will help you with all these other issues that we just talked about. We love you all. Till next time, have a glorious day. May God be praised.